First Kings chapter 17. I told you, those of you who were in here Wednesday night, I grabbed my old Bible to preach out of Wednesday night, and I haven't been able to put it back up. I just keep seeing notes and little places where God would speak to me. I'd be reading or studying. And I mean, going back 15 years, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and it's amazing things you forget about. And I encourage you, don't make a mockery of your Bible. Don't you kids listening, don't write and just draw and make a mess of your Bible. But on purpose, I went in both ditches with this. I had wide margin Bibles back before iPads and all that stuff, and I'd write my outlines in my Bible, and I'd write things, and I got a whole Bible. It had a notebook in the back of the Bible, and I wrote things, and I wouldn't get the whole thought out. I'd be trying to write and say, I need to remember that. And I went back years later, and it'd say something like, a donkey and a king. I'm like, what? What was I thinking? A donkey and a king? Why is that in my Bible? I'm sure at some point it was a great thought. But these days, it don't mean a whole lot. And my point, and so I quit, and I got real careful, and I quit writing anything in my Bible. And I'd rather have a donkey and a king than nothing. And my point being, be wise about what you do with your Bible, but do something with it. Because when your children one day get it, or your grandchildren get it, one of my most prized possessions is my grandma's Bible, a little brown Bible that I watch her read every day. And her little old arthritis curled up fingers, I can see them. And she'd have that little curly finger line by line. And I got that Bible, and I wouldn't take $10 million for it. And you don't want to leave it blank. There need to be some tear stains in it. They need to be something where they know you had a relationship with it. Not for show, but for real. Amen. For real. And so if you got any old Bibles, get them out and see what the Lord reminds you of. It's been a blessing. Just a week of me and my old Bible. Amen. 1 Kings 17, if you're there, say amen. Amen. You've been sitting a while, let's stand together. 1 Kings 17. We just began this message on Wednesday, I believe. All my family think I backslid and quit preaching forever. And I just preached Wednesday night. My goodness. Y'all heathens? No, I'm kidding. 1 Kings 17. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Burp or do something. My goodness. Let me know you're here. I know you're full and tired. I'll take a burp as an amen. I never dreamed I'd take a beep, a horn. But in COVID, I was glad to hear a horn run. See lights flashing at me. Yeah. This place was empty as a ghost town. Hey, so you never know. what are you doing, JD? I don't want you blinding me. He's up here shining lights in my face. All right, 1 Kings, I'm kidding with you, 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. What a, that's an amazing thought, ain't it? Yeah. God controls the birds and can make them run Uber for you. Y'all didn't know Uber was in the King James Bible, did you? God commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. You ever had that happen? God tell you to go somewhere and do something, and you go there and do that, and things are going good, and all of a sudden, right where you know God wants you to be, it dries up. That's a terrible place to be in when you're doing everything right, and it still dries up. Well, hang on. God ain't done. He controls the brook. He said, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Sounds like more than one meal she had planned. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now we could stop right there, and that would be fascinating and power-packed full of miracles, but we ain't even got to the big one yet. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He had questions too. The preacher don't always have all the answers. Sometimes he's trying to struggle through with you and help you make it through your tragedy. So don't be so quick to judge when the preacher's just trying to help. This preacher was just trying to be a blessing, and then the son died. And now he's receiving the accusations, and here's a good thought. Some of you preachers, when the accusations come your way, don't just take them and harbor them and hold them, because they'll make you bitter. You see what Elijah did? He took the accusation And rather than holding and harboring them, he poured them out to God. And he said, Lord, what are you doing? She's accusing me of killing this boy. Lord, are you killing this boy that I'm sojourning? They helping me. It ain't good to keep stuff in. Hey, look up here at me. It ain't good to dish stuff out to other people either. Won't you take your complaint and pour it out to the Lord? Amen. Stay off of Facebook and stay out of the community and just talk to God. That'd fix about all our problems. Amen. Say amen right there. That's right. I don't need to preach on that tonight, but just say amen, nod your head like you agree, and we'll move on. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Amazing. First resurrection in your Bible. And I don't think it's the first thought of it. I believe Abraham thought about a resurrection with his boy Isaac. I believe he thought God could and would, but he didn't have to. But here it happened. It wasn't just a thought. It happened. The dead made to live. He revived, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, see, I told you, it's all right. He lives, he's alive. Chill out. See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You can have a seat. Thank you. Can God, and I thought this would just be a little short sermonette. Brother JD, I thought this would just be a little Wednesday nighter. And man, Brother Ned, this thing is getting bigger and bigger. And my wife and daughter's been condemning me. I mean, if we was in the Old Testament, they'd have done stoned me by now. Daddy, don't preach no more. Need to go back to college. La, 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 la. Y'all forget, I get the last laugh and the last word. And you got to sit and be quiet and take it. No, I'm just kidding. No, listen, I'm serious. While they jabbing and joking about me not preaching, I'm over here dying to preach with all this building in me, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But can God really meet not their need, and don't even worry about can he meet mine, can he meet yours? And I'm here to tell you that little widow woman had some needs. Her son had some needs. Elijah had needs. And there was a God in heaven who was getting ready to meet every last one and prove not just to Elijah the Tishbite, not just to the widow, and not just to the widow grieving mother who had a dead son, but God was going to move. And have somebody pin this down so that every believer that would come thereafter, amen, would know there's a God in heaven, amen, who not only loved, cared, and provided and met the needs of Elijah and that widow and that boy. That's right. But yes, God can, yes, meet, amen, your need, amen, too. Amen. I'll say this, and it's a big statement, but we serve a big God. Amen. You don't have a need God can't meet. You hadn't never had a need God couldn't meet. You never will have a need God can't and won't meet if you go to Him in faith believing. Matter of fact, you say, that's just your opinion. I will meet. God promised He would meet our needs. He would supply our needs. Not according to how good we are, not according to our goodness and our merit, but according to His Son. In Christ, He would do that by Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. He'll supply your needs. And so, can God meet your need? Yes. I could just say, man, we could be done. But I have way more to say than that. And Wednesday night, I just began dabbing in the message, but I talked about how families have needs. And I'm not going to give a microphone out tonight and let any mamas or any wives testify, because we don't have that much time. But there's some mamas up in here that would say, oh, yes, we have needs. And I ain't talking about clothes and food. I'm talking about there's some mamas who know that their children are facing some days. And unlike a father can really grasp, and unlike the inner feelings that only a mama can have, they know their children are facing needs that only God in heaven is going to be able to deliver on. Yeah. Hey, mama, you ever been to a place where you done all you could do? Don't you know this widow was there? She had two sticks. She had a little bit in the bottom of the barrel. And she said, I'm going to make do with what I have. And I ain't going to take it all from me, because that ain't what mamas do. She said, I'm going to make me and my boy one last meal. And she went as far as she could go. Yeah. That's needs. When you're facing watching your child starve, I'd say that's a need.
Yeah.
I promise you this, there's some mamas in Israel tonight who know they may never see their child again. You talking about need? I'm saying there's some daddies who need to know, if we don't, our children got needs. We need some daddies that get burdens again, realizing there's more to life than going to work and earning money and just coming home and dumping it and saying, y'all, no, listen, our children need us. The number one cause, I believe, of society breaking down outside of God is fatherless homes. Amen. I believe that.
Amen.
At some point, daddies just thought, they'll make it. No, they won't.
Yeah.
They need you. Right. And they need to know that you have a God in heaven who can, through you, meet their need.
Amen.
And our children, Lord knows, they have. So we talked about the family. We talked about financial needs, physical needs. What I'm saying is, across the board, spiritual needs.
Amen.
And we can just drop the plow right there. Since we are in church, I mean, y'all come this morning with food in your pouch and brought me some, which I'm thankful. And we met our physical need this morning, because about the time Brother Todd got done preaching, my belly was saying, feed me.
Yeah.
Got a need. I was needing some chicken stew, Brother Dennis, and some egg custard. And I met that need. Thanks to the Lord and everybody else that could. But I didn't come to church this morning to get my belly full.
Yeah.
I come to church because I know deep down in my heart, way more than you know about me, I got some spiritual needs.
Yeah.
That I wish you could fix. Brother Alex, I love you, but you wasn't even here this morning. You laid out of church. What, not dog you? Pastor Appreciation Day. There, you just fly the coop. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But that's stuff you can't meet for me. I can't meet for you. And you need to know. Cherie, you better know. The last few times you get to hear your preacher preach in person, when you're in Iceland, I can't meet it.
That's right.
He can't meet it.
That's right.
Not all of them. But there's a God in heaven who's as much in Iceland as he is in America.
Yeah,
as much over there where y'all going that you don't even know exactly and can't put your finger on yet. And he's the same God sitting on the pew with you tonight.
Amen.
And if he can meet it in Paclet, he can meet it in Iceland.
Hey.
And he has and he will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So there's needs across the board, wouldn't you agree? Physical, financial, family, spiritual. So, all of them are interwoven in this text. I ain't pulling them out there. They're right there in the text that we read. And there's going to be times that every one of us, you may not be facing physical, but can I say this to you? Please hear me. There's people in the room with you who have loved ones who are. These people tonight, right here in the service with us, whose hearts are breaking. Their mind is bothered because they got somebody they love dearly.
Amen.
And there's a big question mark hovering right over mama, Amen. Right over daddy. And they don't know. They don't know and they're waiting. And boy, the waiting process is hard. Don't you know for this mama, when Elijah said, "Give him to me," she's probably thinking, "I done give you everything I got. I done give you my last meal. I done give you my last dollar. And you want more, and now he's dead, and you asking for his corpse?"
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah." And she gave it. In faith, believing, not knowing. And she gave. And don't you know, when Elijah come back down the steps, he was walking a little higher than he was going up. Now, I mean, this is Elijah the prophet. This is Elijah the man of God. This is the great flaming prophet Elijah. However, I'm going to be honest with you, Brother David. I think when he walked up them steps, his legs was probably like that. I don't care. He's a man. And he has done took her last meal. And he has done, and now he's dead. I mean, did you hear his prayer? There's a little worry in that prayer. He's transferring some of that accusation toward. He's pouring his complaint out to God. He ain't God. He's praying to him though.
Amen.
He knows where to take his need.
Amen.
Yeah. And boy, we better learn that. When the preacher can't fix it, when the church can't fix it, when your husband or your wife can't fix it, when mama and daddy can't fix it, you've yet to reach the person who can. There's still one left that you hadn't called.
Amen.
And he just happens to be the one who can meet your need. So, in the minute we got left, can God meet my needs? There's many sides. First of all, it was an uncommon service. Elijah, this wasn't just normal what he was doing. It was uncommon what was going on. Elijah's need arose from his obedience to the will of God. Usually you think when I'm following and pursuing the will of God, I'm right where I'm supposed to be, my need's going to be met. That's how we think. Because we think God owes us that. That's where we thought wrong. God, even when you're doing right, God don't owe you anything. Hello? Are you listening? You better grab that one and take it home and put it on the shelf. Because if you don't need something tonight, there's going to come a time and you're going to be just like the devil and just like this widow woman and just like all of us do, and our flesh will rise up when we get in a mess.
Yeah.
We'll want to say, "God, this ain't fair. Lord, this ain't right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why would you do this to me? Why ain't you meet my... Why do I even have a need? I'm doing right.
Yeah.
I didn't get in trouble. Neither does my... Macy, if you're watching, Daddy's preaching. Are you listening? Macy would get in the same trouble because I give it to her through DNA. That child, if she was wrong, she would humble down and say, "I was wrong," which very rarely happened because she never thought she was wrong. I give her that too. I don't have a problem saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Amen.
But you know where I got in all my trouble, Brother Stephen? Was when I was right.
Yeah.
You better not try to convince me I was wrong. And punish me? There'll be some things the Lord have to deal with you about, Mom. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to rebuke you and put, I'm kidding. But hey, listen, I'm serious. If I got a, my mom will tell you, she got a whooping one time, and it stuck in her mind above most of the other whooping she ever got because she wasn't doing nothing wrong. It was her sister who was doing something wrong, and she got whooped for it. They something in us that wants to rise up and say, that ain't right, and in life it ain't. And sometimes mamas and daddies do get it wrong and whoop the wrong one.
Yeah.
Get over it. It happens. I ain't never done it to you. You deserve way more than you got. But it happens. But I'm here to tell you, when it comes to the economy of God, God don't whoop the wrong children.
That's right.
God don't make mistakes.
Amen.
And if you are at a brook that dries up, it ain't because God fell off the job and God let you down. It's because God intended for that brook to dry up, and God wanted you to be at a brook that was going to dry up. And God, as I told you Wednesday night, named that brook Cherith because that word Cherith means traced. God, before the foundation of the world, traced that river out, and he walked Elijah right down to the place he traced out with his own finger because he was going to meet a need for him. But he had to make a need be known before he can meet it.
That's good.
Amen.
There had to be a dead son before there could be a resurrection.
Right.
You can't have a resurrection when everybody's living.
Yeah.
Are you here? You can't have an empty bucket producing miracles.
Yeah.
When it ain't empty, who's going to think about it? If it's a full bucket, ain't nobody writing about that. I got cans in my house right now, and I promise you I ain't going to come to church next week and tell you, oh, I went home and y'all just wouldn't believe this jar of tomato soup.
Yeah.
Miraculous. Y'all think the preacher's flipped his lid. But if I come back next week and I say, hey, I went home and I had a pickle jar and there wasn't nothing in it but two seeds, and me and my family have been eating on that all week long. Y'all gonna perk up and listen to that. Because when he makes something out of nothing, and that nothing's where the need comes in. That nothing is where he makes the need to where he points our head upward to realize, I'm gonna starve. If God don't do something, me and my boy's gonna die. So quit accusing God and quit. Lord, help me to quit pointing a finger at God and saying, Lord, this ain't right. This ain't fair. Because even though Elijah was doing right, this was an uncommon service. When he was doing right, it seemed like he was getting dealt wrong by God. But was he? Oh, no. And no more was God being wrong with Elijah and unequal with Elijah and unfair to Elijah than he is being with you. And just because the timetable hadn't added up in your life and you hadn't figured it out yet, God's still working. Give him a minute. Give him a second and wait. God said, wait. I say, wait on the Lord. Be still and know
Amen.
That I'm God.
Amen.
I bet she was glad. I bet this widow woman was real glad about day two. Not even day two, Brother Jay. Meal two. I mean, they done put the peanut butter in the bottom of the jar, slabbed it on there, and all of a sudden, bam, peanut butter reappeared.
Amen.
Got it again, bam, there it is again.
Meal one, meal three.
Meal three. And they wasn't complaining. Oh, I'm tired of peanut butter. No, they're saying, thank God for peanut butter. It's back in the barrel again. When you're starving, you don't do much complaining when stuff miraculously appears. Needy people ain't complaining people. Say amen. No, no. Let me tell you, brats! Y'all heard that, didn't you? I mean, look at every child. Oh, don't move. Every child in this room. Brats! 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 Are some more brats? Brats! Hey, finding it. Brat! Brats are who complain, not needy people. Needy people are thankful people. Needy people, when you give them anything, thank you. I was down to my last. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you, God's been so good to us, we've become spiritual brats! And complain. Well, it could be that we're about to, and I'm sincere about this, and serious as I've ever been, I believe with all my heart, we're leaving a time of blessing that's all most of us have ever known. Yeah. And we're about to enter into a time none of us have lived through. And we're about to be very needy. And we're going to look back and see how good God was to us. And we took it for granted. You say, is that really true? Just, have you read your Bible? Have you ever heard of the children of Israel? When they was up, when God was blessing, complain, murmur, gripe, grumble. God would send them to a brook that dry up just so he could become the need meter. So it was an uncommon problem, uncommon service. Then it was an uncontrollable situation. These verses reveal a widow woman who suffered a need because the wrongdoing of others. It was uncontrollable. She had nothing to do with it. That is Siamese sister, if that's a term. That's a twin brother to being falsely accused or being done wrong in your mind. When you know you done, is when it's just, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just out of your control, and you're somehow being caught up in it. That's infuriating on a human level. But was it not Ahab? Was this not an issue between God and Ahab? Why was it so dry? Why did the heavens stop? Why did God shut the water off? Had nothing to do with this widow woman or her son. Right. Why did Job lose 10 children? Why did Job lose everything he had? Why did his body get covered in boils and sores? Had very little to do with Job. There was a fight between heaven and hell going on, between the devil and God. And Job got caught up in it. And God was doing something big. And this widow woman got caught up in an uncontrollable situation. It was out of her control.
That's right.
But God don't forget about people who it's out of their grasp and who gets touched. Listen to this. Who gets touched by His bigger purpose. God will never forget about you. God will never rain on your parade and forget He rained it. Amen. You know how I know that? He's a just God.
That's right.
He always does right. Amen. Anybody want the mic tonight to tell me one time he ever did wrong? Never. He always does. And so when it's out of your control, when you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand and it's just don't seem right, hang on. You're going to get food out of this. Free. She didn't have to farm no field. Hey, she didn't have to hunt no deer. Hey, she didn't have to go to Walmart and pay for nothing off the shelf. She got it free from the hand of God. Mm-hmm. Not only food. She got to witness a true blue first time ever resurrection from the dead. And it was not just anybody. It was her only body. It was her son. The only person we know living in her life. Her husband's dead. As far as we know, this is the last person she has any relation to, and he dies. Yeah. Don't you know she felt like this is an uncontrollable situation? I don't know what I did wrong. I took this preacher in. I give him everything I had, and now my boy is dead? Yeah. That's uncontrollable. That's hard to explain. Yeah. Lucy got some splaining to do. But God wasn't going to leave that widow woman on the side of the road unjustly dealt with. Amen. He's a just God, and God pays His debts, and God always sees to it that the scales are balanced, and He'll never, ever leave you hanging. Amen. And God said, I know I sent that preacher by your house. I know what I did. I know I put things in your life that was out of your control. And here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to feed you for free. And I'm going to raise your son from the dead. Amen. And that preacher who you was making accusations about and who you was lost all confidence in and who you said, I can't believe you'd do this to me. I can't believe I'll let you in my life. Now she's saying, truly, thou art a man of God. For the words in thy mouth is truth.
That's right.
When it's all said and done, you'll be able to look to God and say, you sure are God and you sure are good. And everything you've ever done to me was right.
Amen.
You'll never feel like God done you wrong.
Amen.
When it's all said and done. Amen. Even when it's out of control, it feels like you've lost control. And then finally, just to close this point, it was an untimely sorrow. In these verses, we find a woman who has given much to the Lord. She's received much from the Lord, yet she is thrown into a time of grief over the untimely death of her son. Her world, which seemed to be on track, derailed and filled her with sorrow and pain. You ever been there? I'm done preaching this evening. This is just point number one. All right? The many sides of our needs. We saw. Your needs different, mine's different. But can we all just agree? We all got some problems. We all got some needs. The many sides of it. Next time we come, we're going to move past the many sides of our needs and look at the manifest supplies of God. And I promise you, I challenge you. And this is a sure enough challenge. Go, you say, you done preached everything in that. Just leave it alone. My goodness. Move on. Find another text. Trust me. It's one of the most popular chapters in your Bible. I've heard preaching on it my whole life. I've sat in college classes and heard PhDs and whatever doctors teach, and boy, they just expound it, Brother Jack, and open it up more and more, and you think, I've heard it all. I'm telling you, there's more in that chapter right there. If me and you said, for the rest of our life, we're going to dig right there. There's more in that chapter than you could ever unmine. I'm telling you, the supplies that God has in that one chapter is mind-blowing. Can God meet my need? Read 1 Kings chapter 17 and look for the vast supply of God's provisions. Time and time and time again. And in ways you never dreamed. They're just jewels interwoven all through that chapter. We're done for tonight. Let's stand. I know you're tired.